Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
From the plaster to the plumbing, we've got you covered on Around the House. Ever walk into a bathroom and someone left behind a way too sweet surprise? Or maybe your mirrors take forever to clear up after a shower. Well, you're in luck, as today we bring in some friends of the show from Panasonic Vent Fans talking about how to get your bathroom properly ventilated. Also, Eric spent a couple of days in Southern California at Modernism Week. He'll tell you all about that, as well as a little surprise announcement. Right now on Around the House with Eric G.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Dude, it's been a week.
You've had, we just got to get into it. If you've been on the Facebook page, you know a little bit about what we're talking about.
So I was down in Modernism Week down in Palm Springs, which, you know, in our weather, you think it's going to be awesome in Palm Springs.
Southern California.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Woohoo, here we go. And the day I show up, they get 3.6 inches of rain. If you want to see what a flood looks like, go to a Facebook page, Around the House with Eric G, because there is a flash flood, Lahar-looking thing. It's about the size of a Willamette running through that.
I was going to say, that's about how you described it, a small version of the Willamette running through Palm Springs in the desert.
Yeah, it was crazy. It took us 2.5-3 hours to get into Palm Springs from the 10 there, which was, that shouldn't have been that way. It should have been about 20 minutes, and it was absolutely insane. So that was fun. Later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about Modernism Week, but Modernism Week is kind of that mid-century modern-esque style that they do down in Palm Springs down there every year. It's a big event. And so I was down there with Brizo Faucets, Gen Air. Another one I thought was interesting was Corian coming back.
I saw that.
And nothing against Corian, but they were big in the 90s and the 2000s, and then the Quartz has kind of taken over everything there as well. And they had some cool colors that fit really well into Modernism Week, and I got those pictures up on Around the House with Eric G. So we got a lot of fun new stuff coming up. We talked a little bit about a surprise announcement. So in a nutshell, this show is going to be going national here this year, and we've been working out those details with it. So other than our calls, which I want you to give us here at this number, which is 503-417-9595. So if you've got any of those different questions today about home improvement, 503-417-9595. We're going to have a new number here coming up that's going to be our 20. It's actually working now, so it's available out there. It's our 24/7 phone number and podcast number. So if you're listening to the podcast, like the almost 100,000 people out there that are listening to it now, you can call into this number 24/7, leave a message on it, or even text to it. So if you've got a question, text it. I want to hear your name, where you're coming from. I want to hear what's the best time for us to call you back to record this, as well as what your question is. And if you can leave that on that message or text it into us, I will call you back and we'll put you on the show.
Yeah, we'll record it out and then we'll get you fit in onto the show. And then moving forward here in a little bit, this is kind of going to be our way of you calling into the show.
Correct. And that'll help us when, you know, when somebody on the East Coast wants to hear the show at 8 o'clock in the morning out there. I'm not coming in that early to do a show for you. So, but it's going to keep it live for everybody out there. So it's still going to have that same feel that you're used to every single week. So that's one of the big ones. And then, that number is 503-521-7072. But you can do that 24/7. If you want to text to that number, that's great. Let's not confuse that with the number today, which is 503-417-9595. So that'll be the confusing for the next couple of weeks. But next week, we're going to be at the Portland Home and Garden Show. And we'll be out there with Pyramid Heating and Cooling. So we'll be doing a live event out there. And then really pay attention to Facebook this week. I'm going to be doing a ton of live stuff out at the Kitchen and Bath Industry Show and the International Builder Show in Las Vegas. So
I'm staying back to Vegas.
I am staying in more hotel rooms this month than nights, more nights in the hotel room than in the bed at my house. So it's been a crazy one. So we're gonna have a lot to do with that. So you'll see Skip Bedell and Allison and all the friends out there. We'll be putting them on live events all week long. Well, I want to introduce our guests here today. We are talking Panasonic and what you hear me talk about almost every week. I love a good vent fan, and I'll be honest, I'm not going to sit here and bash the other brands, but I'm going to bash the other brands and say I don't like them personally. So my biggest complaint probably a decade ago when I was putting these things in was that people didn't know they left them on. And so they were turning them on and a switch. They were quiet, and you had a tall ceiling. It was great. So it was one of those things that I really enjoyed as a designer, and they were easy to use because I think everybody out there can relate to walking into the bathroom, turning the fan on, and hearing this, and it sounds like a big machine going. And then you don't even know if it's working. It's making a ton of noise, but it's not moving any air. You have a steamy shower, or you've got a house party, and nobody wants to go into that bathroom in that condition. So that's one of those things that we got to be. I want to talk about today, because everybody out there should have a bath fan in their bathroom. And they should have one in that laundry room as well out there. And if you don't, I see a DIY project or hiring a professional coming up. So I want to introduce Luke and Ken to the show from Panasonic. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about kind of diving into why. We've only got a few minutes to go out to break here, but let's talk about why somebody should have a good fan in their bathroom.
Well, there's two issues that we run into in residential living spaces, if you will. One is obviously moisture. Moisture is a big problem. And then the other one is the indoor air quality products, or the component of it.
Sure.
So the rub with indoor air quality is, over the course of time, indoor air quality will fail you as a human being.
Sure.
Moisture management, on the other hand, will mess you up in a couple of weeks, literally. Because you'll get mold mildew, you'll have reactions, there's asthma allergy reactions. All of that can happen very, very fast and really change the way your world is. The indoor air quality is something we want to look at as a more long-term strategy.
Sure.
But we can do it with the same fan. That's the rub.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm really allergic to mold. So I can literally walk into somebody's home, and I'm like that canary in the coal mine. I can walk in and go, you have a moisture problem in here, because my chest tightens up 2 seconds, bam. And so it's kind of funny. I'm running about 90% accuracy on that. I can walk in and go, where's your moisture problem at in your house?
What moisture problem?
Yeah. Well, it's like rodents or anything else. People don't notice it. They get used to things.
We have the same experience at our house where we have a dog, and we love this dog, but I'm here to tell you that dog off gasses. and my wife will tell you that that dog has no smell, no aroma to it at all, because she lives in the house every day.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, basically nose blind. I travel close to every week. Yeah. I come home after 5 days, I walk in the house, I said, you know, throw the dog out for a minute. And we have continuous run fans. I mean, as a fan guy, I've got more fans than Carter's got pills, for heaven's sakes. I've got fans everywhere. I got fans in my crawl space, fans in my garage, fans in my house, continuous and intermittent and trigger fans. But the dog outgasses, and they can smell that, just like you have the situation. And we usually, when we talk to people, it's the national number is like 1 in 3 people will have an asthma or allergy related issue, some sort of breathing challenge. 1 in 3 people.
That's crazy.
So, and we live in that house every day.
Yeah. And you've got great ventilation in there.
I've got great ventilation. But not everybody does.
Yeah, that's great. All right, when we come back, we're going to dive more into this, because this is something that affects every single one of us out there. I don't care if you're in an apartment, condo, or a house. We'll be talking to Panasonic here about all these different things just as soon as Around the House returns.
This is Fairla Angelina, and you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
Pour gold in this glass. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every Saturday afternoon. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
All right, we want to get you guys in the studio here with us. We're going to be talking ventilation right now, but feel free to give us a call. What are the numbers there, Dane?
Our number in the studio is
503. There we go.
See, you had me.
See, I'm messing with you. See, 503-417-9595.
Also, if you're listening on the podcast, we do have a new phone number. We did mention it in the first hour. This is for both calling and texting with any of your home improvement questions, 503-521-7072.
All right. And that's the one. Just text to that one, and you'll be good to go. Or like our Facebook page, Around the House with Eric G. See, I'm throwing a match at weird.
Right?
I know. I like it. I like it. All right, let's get back into ventilation here, guys. So, sitting here talking with Panasonic about the basics to start out with. You know, indoor air quality is huge. And we had, Carolyn on the America's Healthy Home Expert a little while ago. You know, you can check that back on the podcast. And she was just talking about, you know, we keep getting these homes so tight. You know, I was, when I was back in Boston, I was talking to the guys at this old house about how to, they've got a new system out there. We talked about it last show where they can spray this glue basically into a positive pressurized house. And that latex glue it's in a fog in the house will actually tighten up and basically like fix a flat for the house. Well, we got a tight house. That's really good at keeping the air infiltration stuff, but it also traps all the bad stuff inside as well.
Well, ventilation, you know, one of the mantras that I consistently talk about with ventilation is it should be predictable and uneventful.
Yeah.
So if you're using just the air leakage out of your house to meet your ventilation requirements, the problem with that is it may or may not work.
Yeah. Right?
So, I mean, Mother Nature says, I'm 70 degrees outside, I'm 70 degrees inside. And we know from basic physics that when high pressure moves to low.
Sure.
And I can change the pressure by changing the temperature. So if it's cold outside and hot inside, that air is expanding, pushing out. I got some ventilation.
Sure.
But if it's hot outside and vice versa, I've got air pushing in. But if it's 70 degrees outside, 70 degrees inside, you can open all the windows you want. No air is going to move left or right.
Yeah.
So we want our ventilation to be predictable and uneventful. Meaning that I turn a fan on and I run it continuous and I run it consistent and the air just moves. So when you do an envelope tightening, we're doing that to simply save everybody money.
Sure.
In the long run, it's the heat that's being pulled out, right? It's that heat
exactly.
That's going. We want the heat to stay in the house, but we want to take the particulates that are aerosolized and get those out of the house. So we create a little low pressure system with that fan running.
Yep.
And then people always say, well, should I have the fan in this room or that room or what room? You know, it almost doesn't matter because high pressure moves to low.
Yeah.
Everything that gets aerosolized is going to go to that low pressure system, which is what I'm creating with the fan. I just let the fan run, and that stuff will ultimately all migrate out of the house. So all is good. It's just it's predictable. It's uneventful. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to turn it on or off. It just works. So now I tighten the house up as tight as I can get it. And I want to just let my air management process
yes.
work on its own.
And which is good. I mean, and that's the thing when you get into this more so in kitchen applications. But, you know, I know people out there that have really tight homes and they go in and they put in that 1,000 CFM kitchen fan. And now all of a sudden you need to come up with a makeup air situation.
Yeah. And makeup air is probably one of the bigger challenges in our building industry, right? So, mm-hmm. So it's funny, you know, exhaust air is the least expensive air that you can take exhaust air out for nothing hardly.
Yeah.
But as soon as I start bringing air, driving air into the house.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden our codes and standards come into place where I have to have a MERV 8 minimum filter on there, which means my static pressure, I have to have a bigger fan to accommodate that. And then in theory, I should be tempering that air, right? I shouldn't be driving 1,000 CFM of air in the house at 32 degrees.
Exactly. That's not smart.
Nobody's going to be happy at the end of that day. And I shouldn't be driving, let's say I live down south where it's 90 degrees outside and 90% humidity, and I drive that air into the house and turn the air conditioning on. Now I'm making it rain in the house. So we have to, supply air has to be managed. So it's a little more expensive.
It is. It's something you have to do. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Western Construction Systems. The rain is here and more is coming. If you got a leaky basement issues, call Western Construction Systems for a free estimate. Integrity of your foundation is their specialty. guaranteed, and they are CCB number 94222. Hey, let's run out here to Ray in Albany with a toilet question. Welcome to Around the House.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm in the market for like an ADA toilet. My wife's got a lower back fusion, and she's having a hard time, you know, getting up and down. And I've been looking online and stuff. I've measured toilets at work and mine, and there's like 16, 17 inches or something. And I need something a little higher. And where can I find something that's – I've seen something that's like called tall toilets, and I can't seem to find them at the Home Depot or Lowe's or anything. And also I need to install like a grab rail. Yep. And if I end up not hitting a stud, you know, like those spreaders you'd use for like a swag light or something?
Yep.
Would that be strong enough to anchor like a grab rail on a wall or something like
you
that?
You know, I probably wouldn't do something like that. If you can't get in there and do a drywall repair project and actually block that out, you might think of putting a nice piece of decorative wood in there that's going to match that you can attach and span across a few studs and actually get some screws into. But you better have that be at least 3/4 inch thick. Because you got to have something in there, grab a hold of that solid, because you need that to be able to hold the body up and do it well.
Okay.
Now, as far as the toilets, you know, there's a consistent ADA height out there, which is that comfort height that you see out there. The problem is at home centers, I'll be honest, I don't go shopping for toilets at home centers, and that's my personal opinion. I'm a Toto toilet brand person. I like them. That's who I've used. They don't pay me to say that, but that's just who I've used over the years because they've been really reliable as a brand for me. But I would get into someplace like George Moreland or Ferguson or somebody like that, even Chown Hardware here in Portland, and talk to them about custom height toilets. And now you're going to be able to get out of that home center feel. And nothing against the home center, but that's just kind of your mass market stuff. You're going to have a couple choices, and that's it there.
Okay. I was thinking about those places. We have a, you know, Judson Plumbing here in Salem, and then George Moreland. I was thinking about those places too.
Yeah,
so
that's who I'd get. I'd stay out of the home centers for this. You're going to be able to find some stuff. The other thing you could do too is it's a little more work, and then now you're getting into bathroom remodel land, but who says you couldn't build that up if this is going to be your forever home? You technically could put up on a little platform in there, but again, that's going to be now you're doing flooring and trim and a lot of other stuff on that, but yeah, I mean, you're only trying to get a couple more inches out of it. You could also put an ADA toilet in there in one of the taller seats. And that would get you
right
there.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Hey, Ray, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Around the House. That's a great one. All right. We come back here, we're going to be talking ventilation.
Absolutely.
And we'll be taking your calls at 503-417-9595 just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single Saturday afternoon. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Western Construction Systems. Do you think your foundation might be failing? Before you consider replacing it, call the leaders in foundation repair, Western Construction Systems. You know, the integrity of your foundation is their specialty, guaranteed. And they are CCB number 94222. All right, I do want to run out to a quick caller here real quick before we get back into ventilation. Stephen McMinnville, welcome to Around the House.
How you doing?
Good, man. What can we help you with today?
I was calling about a noise I have in my it's in my ceiling in my bedroom, right in the corner of a wall in my bedroom. It sounds like a drop of water falling some distance, and it can be at a slow cadence, it can be at a fast cadence, it can be a fairly soft noise, it can be a fairly loud noise. I've opened up the bay that I think that the noise is in from listening to it. What I found in that bay was a water suppression or fire suppression water line that runs through the house and goes through the joist that's right there, and then runs another 2 or 3 feet into the dining room, which is just on the other side of the wall. I thought that was probably the noise and where it was going through the joist. I sleeved it with an aluminum sheet metal.
Okay.
All the way. Didn't change anything. I then strapped it to a joist so that it was immobile. Didn't do anything. And it's the only thing I can find around there. Got no idea what.
So is that a pressurized line where there's water in it, or is it dry until water hits that line?
I don't know that for sure.
It could be some kind of water hammer that you're getting up there. It also could be oscillation from wind on the exterior of the house out there, something going on there as well. It could be a lot of different stuff going on up there. If it's a pressurized water line and you've got something else in the system that's kicking off and on, you could get some weird water hammer up there that's just bouncing stuff around. And it could be that as well. How old is this house? When was this built?
3 years.
3 years ago. Boy, it could be anything. What kind of pipe is it up there? Is that copper, PEX? What are we dealing with up there?
It's about inch and a half orange plastic.
Oh, that is okay. So that is orange would be fire line, fire suppression. So
yeah.
I'd be honest. If I was you, I would probably call a fire suppression company to come out and take a look and see if they can troubleshoot that for you. Because that's a fairly sensitive system that's not what I would call DIY friendly. And if you do it wrong, the damage that occurs is big. So yeah. I'd have somebody come out there that's licensed, bonded, insured, and take a look at it from that angle first. Just because that's a fairly complex system, the last thing you need to do is set it off.
Well, I can hold the line when the noise is happening, and I feel nothing.
Oh. And it might not even be that right there.
That's what I'm thinking.
Huh.
And I can't see anything else in the area at all.
Do you have any roof flaps or anything up for ventilation stuff up there in that ceiling right there? Is it only this water line?
The closest thing to it is about 3 feet, 4 feet away, and it's a cold air return.
Hmm. That's a strange one. We're guessing. I mean, you could have some. And really, describe the sound one more time. Is it more of a bang, or is it more of a? Well, you said water dripping sound.
Yeah, I'd say it's more of a tick. And it can be the cadence can be, you know, maybe two or three a second down to one every 7 or 8 seconds.
Wondering if you're getting any expansion contraction off that line, that metal line coming in there, that if it's only happened in the wintertime and it's staying pretty warm and you got cold air hitting it.
And it seems to go off when my heat pump fires up, then this will start. But when it fires up for the air conditioner, it doesn't. This will stop sometime probably in April or May. I won't hear it again till October.
You know, I've had homes with heat pumps in them like that when you've got stuff like that where you're getting some noise out of the ducting and stuff out of that, especially when fire up, because you've got everything firing up and you're getting a little more ventilation. You're pulling in that cold air in there. It's been sitting there for a while. I've had some noises coming out of that, out of heating systems. And especially, how far away is the heat pump away from this? Are you other side of the house, or is this pretty close?
This is, you know, it's on the outside of the house, near the back of the house, and this is nearing the midpoint in the house. And it doesn't really occur in the daytime either when the thing comes on. It'll start pretty heavily about 10 o'clock at night, and it'll stop around 7 in the morning.
Boy, that's the only time it seems that your fire alarm decides in your home, your smoke detector starts, battery goes off. It's always at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's the same kind of thing.
But it's every morning.
Yeah. You know, man, I would probably have somebody come in and take a look first, get somebody to eyeball that fire suppression system and make sure you don't have some weird vibrations going on in there. Next step would be to have somebody come in from the HVAC side and just look at it and see if anybody's got any angles on that there. It's so hard to do this over radio without sitting there staring at it, but that's kind of the routes I would go. I think first you might have some kind of vibration with variable water pressure and things like that coming through. If you have some kind of a problem with that pipe bouncing around or expanding and contracting in there, that could easily do it. But being plastic, it's just hard to say with that stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
All right, man. Good luck out there. Appreciate it. Man, that's a wild one.
Really good question.
Good question, but it's so hard to figure out sounds over radio.
When you're not there.
Yeah. But that's one of those things that just going to have to start going process of elimination and chase it down.
Yeah, like you said, start with the most important kind of system there, that fire suppression system. Make sure that's all good to go and then move on to the HVAC.
That could just be bouncing around up there and he could be getting some residual noise that's traveling down and who knows. It doesn't take much for plastic to be making noise on wood up there if it's not tied down someplace. So, all right, let's get back here for a couple minutes before we go out to break again. Here's one of the things I want to talk about. One of my issues that I have with ventilation and bathrooms, and when I say bathrooms, it could be any bathroom. It could be a laundry, any place that you're trying to remove moisture and air quality out there. What do you guys recommend? Do you recommend more of that humidity-controlled switch or just the basic timer when you're going into a bathroom situation?
Oh, that's a great question because I've been trying to get people out of these goofy timers forever. I'm more about triggers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if the fan should run at a very low speed continuous, that's your IAQ strategy. But when you get stuff, you know, moisture, you know, a load, the fan needs to come on. If you have it on a timer, the timer has no idea that, you know, there's something cooking in the kitchen or that there's a kid in the shower. The timer doesn't care about any of that. So I'm all about triggers now. And one of the things that we're really focusing on here in the Northwest is because almost all the fans have moisture trigger options. You know, and it used to be at Panasonic, we were one of the first manufacturers that came out with a motion sensor.
It was great. Yeah.
A lot of people loved it. A lot of people were challenged by it, right? Because the cat would go in the bathroom, the fan would come on for, and we'd always tell people, you know, the factory setting was let it run for 20 minutes after the motion sensor went off.
Yeah.
Right? To continue to clear the bathroom. Well, the reality was the motion sensor had to be on. You know,
it had to be clicked on.
You had to walk in there to make the fan work. So if you had a crock pot going in the kitchen or you're making a big bowl of anything, you know, something that's cooking or the wash machine or dryer's going on, the motion sensor doesn't see any of that. So yeah. The fan would never come on. So now we have automated triggers for humidity or condensation. We treat it as a condensation. We're looking for a temperature versus absolute humidity difference, but it's the same thing. And it's considerably more accurate, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is I don't have to run the fan for 20 minutes after the material's off the sensor.
Might only need it for a few just to get that taken care of.
I don't even need it for 2 minutes because technically once the moisture's off the sensor, problem solved, right?
Yeah. You've got a solution,
off.
Yeah.
You shut the fan off. So I'm a huge advocate for sensored or what I call automated trigger products rather than timers. Timers just don't know what's going on in your world, so they can't respond to that.
Right on. When we come back here, I want to talk about a little bit more of that. What happens in homes where they've got high humidity situations, which isn't healthy anyway, but sometimes you get people with just running with that humidity house, no heat, windows are open, and our springtimes, which causes its own problems. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement each and every Saturday. Give us a call here, 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Let's run out here to Susan and Bend. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, thanks.
What can I help you with today?
Well, I have a moisture issue in my garage, and there's two problems that I'm wondering if they could somehow or another be related, and if so, what I should do about it. The first is that there is a tremendous amount of moisture condensation on the windows in the top slat of the garage door.
Mm-hmm.
And then the garage doors, the rest of them going down, are totally dry. But it seems like the water is coming out at the bottom. The regular windows in the garage do not have any moisture on them. And sometimes the garage man door has moisture on it. Now, the automatic thing to say is, well, there's some equipment or something or other in the garage that is causing the moisture and the temperature differences between inside and outside. But what's really odd about it is that the moisture comes down at the very bottom seal of the garage door, and there's moisture nowhere else. It's only underneath that seal. In addition, the slab of the garage where the crack control joints are,
mm-hmm.
There coming away from that garage door and the main joint between the driveway and the garage slab, there appears to be moisture in there, and it goes back about 3 feet from that joint in the crack control joints.
Okay. So first question, do you have your car and stuff in here, SUV or whatever? Does that get parked in here every day? So
yes.
So what's happening is you're out driving around in your vehicle, running around all day. Yeah, you guys are known for having a little bit of snow and weather down there. So you bring your warm car in. It's covered with moisture on the outside. The snow drips off, tends to come up and get trapped inside that garage, correct?
Well, I would think that would be logical, too, except that this happened before we had snow.
Okay. Garages tend to get moist like that when you're parking vehicles in it because you've got a bunch of different things going on, and there's a lot of moisture that comes in, even when it's rainy outside, that's attached to it. And if you've got a pretty sealed up garage, is there any heat in this thing at all? Do you get any residual heat coming through, or is it just a very cold garage out there?
No, the furnace is located out there. So there is some heat, and the hot water heater is also out there.
So you got a little minimal heat there, but I think the biggest heat source is going to be your hot vehicle coming in there. So what do you guys think about that?
So some condensation is a funny thing, right? So it what it does is it looks at the moisture in the air, right? The amount of moisture in the air. And then that moisture wants to continuously balance. So as that air cools off, the moisture is going to turn to water.
Sure.
So what it's looking for is a cold surface, and it's always going to want to find balance. So, and a fun side story, I went to a project in King County Housing. They had water coming out of the peephole of the door.
Wow.
Running down the door, left a rusty line right down the door. Yep. And they're like, what's going on here? Well, you know what? Take your infrared gun, put it on the peephole of the door, and you'll see a 10 to 15 degree difference.
Yeah.
So at 10 to 15 degrees, your humidity drops out, and now water vapor becomes water running down the door. So what I would look at is, if you've got that expansion joint, for one, the expansion joint is going to touch the earth, which has the potential to draw cold air. Now, your garage might have just a tiny bit of heat. It doesn't matter how much, just more heat than what's on that floor surface. That's going to expand, push out.
Yep.
Right? Which is going to draw cold air in from that expansion joint, potentially. Yep. And that expansion joint will have a condensation issue around it. So, you know, there's two rules of thumb, right? One is I can heat the condensing surface.
Yep.
Problem solved. Rather expensive, though.
Sure.
Or I can take the moisture out of the air. In your case, I'm a big advocate, of course, for fans.
Sure.
Because we sell fans. But I would simply put a fan in there on a condensation control. Now you get a moisture load, and the fan comes on, evacuates that moisture, and you have less inclination.
Does that help you, Susan? We've got to run out to break here in just a second, but does that help you a little bit?
Give it a try.
I think that'll help you out.
I was curious whether those expansion joints or the crack control joints are supposed to be caulked.
I would leave them alone, and that way you're good to go. Unless it's down to the dirt, you should be good. I got to run. Thanks for calling in. Susanna, we'll get to you just as soon as Around the House returns.
We have some exciting news about the Around the House podcast. Do you want to be an Around the House insider? Our premium membership gives you early access to the weekend podcast, exclusive access to our back catalog of shows, special email access to me, Eric G, with your own home improvement questions with a priority email address, plus exclusive new shows and extended content. Click down into the podcast show notes for the link to the Around the House insider membership for less than the price of a beer at happy hour. Join me for this limited amount of exclusive members. And thanks for listening to Around the House.